What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. Before we get into today's episode, I want to remind you that Underdog is the place to be if you guys want to crush your buffoon league mates this year. Underdog not only is the best place to play fantasy football because it has no waivers, no trades, you just draft, and then you collect your winnings at the end of the year. Big, big time winnings. $2 million to first in Best Ball Mania 6. Contest for any price point. But the reason that I love Underdog so much is because when I get 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 drafts under my belt, I know exactly where players are going in sharp, real ADP drafts that are going to make me laugh at where I can get players in my home redraft league. Because ultimately, that's what I care about winning the most, my home redraft league. So when you're training on Underdog, when you're drafting, you're getting the best real life practice you can possibly get. Doing mock drafts on ESPN, doing mock drafts on Yahoo will not get you as prepared as Underdog will. Sign up right now. Use the promo code FSE when you sign up and you'll get up to $1,000 in bonus cash on the site on your first deposit and a gimme pick in your pick'em lobby. Check out the link in the description of all of our videos to get started. Now let's get into it. Who is the next league-winning wide receiver? That is the question we are all looking to get the answer for in today's video. We're going to tackle the anatomy of a league-winning wide receiver, the volume, the situational-based factors that they need to hit. We're going to use that roadmap. We're going to grade the 2025 crop of wide receivers and determine who that next league-winning wide receiver might be. We've had 34 league-winning seasons, which is a 20-plus point per game in PPR scoring formats. Season, minimum 12 games played since 2013. You guys can see them all on the screen right now. This was the volume-based factors it took them to get there. Ja'Marr Chase was the only one to do this last year as the only 20-plus point per game wide receiver in 2024. It is the first time since 2019 that we've had only one wide receiver do it. You see in 2023, Tyreek, Lamb, Keenan Allen, Amon-Ra St. Brown all did it. Just Ja'Marr Chase last year. And you guys can see on average, it takes about 10, over 10 targets per game, about 7 receptions per game, 0.75 touchdowns per game. If you pace that out to a 17-game season, we're talking 180 targets, 120 receptions, 13 receiving touchdowns overall. But sometimes pure volume isn't all you need at wide receiver. It does matter what situation you're in. So I did test a lot of situational factors. And of course, I've been doing this exercise for about 5-6 years now. So I'm kind of just breezing through this stuff. Top 10 offense on average is what we're looking for. Top 10 quarterback in PFF passing grade on average, so a measure of how good your quarterback play is. 600-ish pass attempts per season, which is about a top 8, top 10 pass volume offense in the NFL year over year. The number 2 wide receiver, tight end, other pass catcher in your offense being at about 100 targets was also about the sweet spot here too, because, you know, ideally you don't have exceptional target competition who's commanding 150 plus targets a year. Top 10 offensive line and pass blocking, top 5 to 10 NFL wide receiver talent, ideally in yards per out run, which is a good measure of that. And then highest percentage achieved in reception perception. Good separation is a real skill. Matt Harmon does a great job grading that stuff. And it ended up being predictive, really only 2 or 3 seasons since 2013. The receiver who posted a league-winning season failed to reach at least a 90th percentile against either man or zone. So you got to beat one of those coverages at a high, high level. 90th percentile is basically the mark that we're looking for. And again, those were the averages for the situational factors. So we're going to use this roadmap that we've just created, and we're going to grade the 2025 crop of wide receivers. I'm going to go through the top 45 wide receivers in order of Underdog ADP. These are not my rankings. Two quick things. First off, if you guys want to draft some Underdog teams, they have a $3 contest going right now. And of course, Best Ball Mania, $25 to enter, $2 million up top. If you guys want to get some of these values, start drafting on Underdog. Sharpen up for your home leagues. Head to the pinned comment. Use the promo code FSE. That gets you a 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And you will also get a gimme pick in your pick'em lobby. Second thing, we dropped our season pass this past week. It is the best product we have ever launched, period. If you want our rankings, our draft guide, and the rankings and draft guides of all your other favorite creators, Mason over at The Flock, Domain Guys, Land Guys, all of that is available to you. Wall-to-wall coverage, site access, August 1 to Jan 1. That will cover you through draft prep and through in-season content, start sits, rest of season rankings, weekly rankings, everything you could possibly need to win your league this year. You can get our brand new season pass for $35. Use the promo code FSE to make sure you get that discount. And of course, let's get into the wide receivers 1 to 9 in order of Underdog ADP. Using that roadmap that we kind of went through in the first part of this video, these guys are all top 16 picks. You have to spend very, very high capital on them. If this were 4 or 5 years ago, maybe some of these back-end wide receiver ones would be going a little bit later, 2-3 turn area. But that's not the world we're living in. The way that Underdog ADP is structured, the way that home league ADPs have been affected by sites like Underdog, we're seeing wide receivers with real upside cases go higher than ever. We're going to go through these guys one by one, starting with Ja'Marr Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals. Very easy case, triple crown, one of the best receivers in the league, elite volume, elite quarterback, elite offense. Only two concerns you could have for Ja'Marr Chase on him potentially not repeating as the wide receiver one is a bad offensive line. It's been ranked as a bottom five unit by most outlets. And T. Higgins, of course, commanding a lot of targets. But that did not stop Ja'Marr Chase last year. Of course, he has a league-winning season again in the tank if he wants to do it. Justin Jefferson, quarterback, is a question mark. J.J. McCarthy, of course, the second-year quarterback, didn't start his whole rookie season. But the Vegas markets are putting a lot of respect on the Vikings. They think they'll be about a league-average offense and implied point totals. They expect them to pass the ball at actually a top-six rate as well. And the offensive line is improved with health of Christian Darrisaw coming back from a major injury, new additions on the interior. Justin Jefferson is also Justin Jefferson, so he's that good, and he can definitely overcome whatever issues he might have. Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, and so on. CeeDee Lamb, volume potential maybe takes a tiny hit here. George Pickens was added in the offseason. Mike McCarthy is now gone, which could result in Brian Schottenheimer wanting to establish the run a little bit more. But let's look at their starting running backs. Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders, and Jaden Blue. This still projects as a top 12 to 15 offense. Absolutely no run game to speak of. They will have to throw the football to win. The last time we saw a healthy Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, it was magic. 2023 MVP candidate was Dak Prescott. League-winning wide receiver, even better than Ja'Marr Chase's 2024 season in 2023 with CeeDee Lamb. And of course, George Pickens being added to the mix can't hurt, because I do think he helps elevate the offense, helps give them sustained drives and more downfield ability. So CeeDee Lamb still projects very, very good. Puka Nacua, I do absolutely love, but I do have to dock him a little bit right now because of the injury concern for both himself, because he's been banged up in his career, and of course his quarterback Matthew Stafford, who's quote-unquote static throwing right now with a back injury. He has a long history of back injuries. Not what you want to hear exactly a month to the day away from the NFL season. Puka Nacua is an elite talent. I have no doubt in my mind that if Matthew Stafford plays 17 games or at least close to 17 games, this dude's going to crush his ADP because he crushes yards per route run. Reception perception indicates that he is now an elite NFL wide receiver from both a talent perspective and the way he's used from one of the most sharp offensive coordinators in the league, Sean McVay. Adams is a significant talent added to this offense, but schematically, I think this actually helps Puka Nacua quite a bit because Adams is going to play the X wide receiver role. Davante Adams, a potential future Hall of Famer, is going to command a lot more attention than old Cooper Kupp was last year, and he's probably going to take away number one corner, safety help, that kind of thing. It really all depends on Matthew Stafford's health at this point in time. Vegas projects this as a top five offense in points per game, great volume, great O-line, but Matthew Stafford is the key here. Keep monitoring that health of Matthew Stafford. If you guys are watching this 2-3 weeks down the road after I recorded it, you might have more information on Matthew Stafford. But again, the further we get closer to the season and he's not practicing, he's not throwing, all that kind of stuff, the more concerned I get about Puka Nacua. Malik Nabers, when you're already a top 5 to 7 wide receiver in the NFL at 22 years old, and you might lead the position legitimately with 200 plus targets because he was pacing 193 last year as a rookie, you have a real chance of finishing as wide receiver one overall. Given the recent Matthew Stafford news, I moved Malik Nabers up to wide receiver four behind Justin Jefferson ahead of Puka Nacua because, again, as we get closer to the season and Stafford isn't practicing, I got to dock Nacua a little bit. Jefferson, Lamb, and Chase, of course, ahead of him. Russell Wilson is a major quarterback upgrade. Drew Locke, Tommy DeVito, and some of Daniel Jones was what Malik Nabers produced, a wide receiver six in points per game, barely being able to drink legally during his first training camp last year. Being an 18-point-per-game wide receiver at 21 years old is really difficult when you play for a bottom-five NFL offense. So the fact that the Giants could be marginally improved, they're a fast-paced offense, they pass the ball a lot, I think Malik Nabers legitimately has wide receiver one overall in his range of outcomes. Nico Collins, exceptional talent, 93rd plus percentile against man and press coverage per reception perception. It's a great quarterback. CJ Stroud hopefully has a bounce back season. The offense may struggle to run the ball, and that could affect the offense in general because Joe Mixon's banged up. Nick Chubb reportedly looks like a shell of himself. Is Woody Marks really going to be a major contributor as a fourth round pick? They're probably going to have to pass the ball to win games. That checks a lot of boxes for sure for Nico Collins. I moved him up to my 11th overall player because, I mean, he's just that good, honestly, and CJ Stroud can get him the football no matter what. But the offensive line concerns me. The overall offensive scheme with a new guy and Nick Cayley coming in, no run game really to speak of that I really believe in. So keep that in mind for Nico Collins. But again, he is a great player. He could overcome quite a bit just by sheer target volume and talent. Amon-Ra St. Brown, great player, great offense, but I do have some concerns. No Ben Johnson is going to affect St. Brown. And the reason I say this is because a lot of the coach speak we've heard so far from John Morton, from Dan Campbell, from Jameson Williams has been that they're going to try and stretch the field more, which benefits Jameson Williams a lot more than it does Amon-Ra St. Brown. Is it possible that these guys even out in targets a little bit more? I don't think that St. Brown is suddenly not going to be a dominant alpha. I think he absolutely will be. But Amon-Ra did come off of offseason surgery to clean up a knee issue, and the offense could regress from by far the number one offense in the NFL to a top five, top eight scoring unit. And that would really affect Amon-Ra St. Brown, especially if they're no longer peppering him 10 plus targets a game over the middle of the field. So he's obviously a great player. He's in a great offense, and you want to invest in that 9 times out of 10. But there are some schematic things that have me a little bit worried that we might see a wide receiver 11 in points per game season out of Amon-Ra St. Brown instead of a top five season like you'd be hoping for if you draft him at the end of the first round. Brian Thomas Jr., if you're not super high on Travis Hunter, I mean, you have to have BTJ as a top 10 to 12 overall player. Healthy Lawrence is a good quarterback. Liam Cohen, the new head coach, should scheme up for BTJ, especially when you factor in the red zone upside that BTJ has, the downfield upside, and the supreme ability that the dude showed as a rookie last year at 21 years old. He is capable of truly dominating for 20 plus points per game for sure, especially when you factor in that Trevor Lawrence has quite a bit of meat left on the bone to get better in this new offensive system. A coach who just saw Baker Mayfield throw for 41 passing touchdowns, and Trevor Lawrence always had that ability as well. We just haven't seen it yet. I think BTJ could absolutely smash, and at the end of the first round, early second round, he is a great pick. Drake London is the last guy of this top nine. I think of all the guys in this range, he and Amon-Ra are, let's say, the least talented wide receivers. Penix is a question mark for sure, but in the three games he started, he did post an elite 7.4 yards per attempt, fourth highest PFF passing grade among quarterbacks with 100 plus dropbacks. Only Lamar Jackson, Burrow, and Justin Herbert scored a higher PFF passing grade than Michael Penix did in his limited action. There's enough here. Plus, the volume should be really strong for Drake London because Darnell Mooney is banged up with a shoulder injury. And I think that the Falcons are going to throw the ball quite a bit. They're a high pace of play offense. I can comfortably say that London is a top 8 to 10 fantasy wide receiver with a legitimate top 5 ceiling. The only reason that he feels gross to click is because he doesn't feel quite as talented as these other guys, but he is 24 and a half years old. He could still get better. And I actually did move him over Amon-Ra St. Brown since the Darnell Mooney injury. So this tier of wide receivers, I mean, there are dudes all over the place. I do want to remind you guys that this will change the early round draft strategy video for the running back position. I'm doing it for the wide receivers tomorrow. So I'm going to go through, archetype the wide receivers, who are the guys we want to target on a macro level. On the scorecard at the end of this video, you'll see exactly what their macro archetype is. But all nine of these players were the best archetype of wide receiver to save you some time. They're under age 29 with a wide receiver one season under their belt, aka their prime wide receiver ones, which is exactly what we want to be targeting in the early rounds of fantasy drafts. So wide receivers 10 to 18, these guys are typically mid-second round picks to mid to late third round picks in fantasy drafts right now. You can see AJ Brown, Ladd McConkey, Tyreek Hill, T. Higgins, Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams, Rashee Rice, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. With AJ Brown, we know supreme talent. The volume is not there in 2024, and it probably won't be again in 2025, but they were historically run heavy, the Philadelphia Eagles. You never know, man. Defensive injuries, Saquon goes down, whatever the case is, Devontae Smith definitely going to eat into the targets. One of these years, it's all going to break right for my money, probably the third or fourth best receiver in the league in AJ Brown. I will keep being in on him every year because of how gifted he is. Even if the volume isn't there, even if the semantics don't really line up for a great season, eventually AJ is going to have one of these years where we go, yeah, there it is. There's the 23 points that we were all expecting from a receiver this good. Ladd McConkey, lots of green for a second-year breakout candidate as well. Elite offensive line, one of the best 3 to 5 units in the league. Elite quarterback. There's guys behind him on the depth chart, Trey Harris, QJ, other guys there, but nobody that frightens you. I think Ladd McConkey has legitimate 150, 170 target potential. Even if we assume the Chargers are a run-heavy offense, which I think is a safe assumption given that Greg Roman is there and they drafted a first-round running back, Ladd McConkey still flashes dominant potential here. And if they're a league average passing unit in terms of volume, which there's been indications by beat reporters that they're going to try and open things up, then I do think Ladd McConkey could easily crush that late second round ADP that he has. Tyreek Hill of the Miami Dolphins, reception perception indicates that there has been a slight talent fall off to his 2024 tape. Was he mentally dejected, which could be very well the case, or did he actually lose a step? Because we saw him run fast in a straight line just this offseason, racing people for like a 10, 100 meter dash. But Matt Harmon did showcase in the reception perception profile that there's less snappiness out of his breaks. It's a good quarterback. It's a good offense. Of course, Tyreek Hill's one of the best fantasy receivers of the last decade. Elite target potential, but he is 31. And is a 31-year-old going to recapture his prime coming off of a season in which he objectively fell off from a talent perspective? Was it injuries? Was it mental stuff? We don't know. I'm comfortable taking that risk in round three, but in round two, it gets a little bit wary for me for Tyreek Hill. T. Higgins, elite offense, great player, high touchdown upside, but Ja'Marr Chase ruins pretty much any volume and super, super high ceiling season we could see out of T. Higgins unless he were to go down with injury. Pretty straightforward. Both these guys can eat. We saw them both finish as top five wide receivers in points per game. But you got to remember, T. Higgins missed some time. So when he was out there, he was great, but he also wasn't necessarily playing all 17 games, both of these guys. I do think we did run pretty pure with T. Higgins last year. I was super in on him. I loved him. I drafted him everywhere. But I do think you're paying for that ceiling this year. And I think we're close to where it is capable of being. That top five season that he had last year, I don't know if we're going to get there again without a Ja'Marr Chase injury. Marvin Harrison Jr., there's some projection here, but as an elite prospect, all the buzz we're hearing is that a jump is coming for the player. Top 15 wide receiver talent in the league, if not higher, is within the range of outcomes as soon as like the first five games of this year. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals quietly projecting for a top 10 scoring offense due to a nutted schedule, high scoring division. This is a true breakout candidate in round three. Very appealing, especially if you're drafting him as your wide receiver two. Let's say you draft Nico Collins and Devon Achane to start your draft and you get Marvin Harrison in round three. Perfect upside swing at that point. You already have two guys that you can rely on. Garrett Wilson is no longer the shiny new toy in fantasy like he was last year, but that's okay because he has elite target upside. Probably if I had to make a bet on the biggest discrepancy between the number one target earner of an NFL team and the number two target earner of an NFL team, I think that the Jets and Garrett Wilson would be my best bet because we've seen through the first three, four seasons of his career, legitimate Hall of Fame level target commanding ability and separation ability. I think for the Jets, they just need Justin Fields to play at a decently high level. Let's say 2023 Bears Justin Fields would be a good framework, a good baseline for how much he can produce. If he can throw 200 to 225 passing yards per game, who's to say Garrett Wilson doesn't have the DJ Moore season of 2023? And you're getting him at a reduced cost from where you had to draft him last year. And I can argue that Garrett Wilson's better than DJ Moore. So there's definitely some meat on the bone for Garrett Wilson to return, but he is definitely a little bit riskier because it's not a great offense. It's not a high projected scoring team unless you see that Justin Fields that we saw early in his career that got us all really excited. Devontae Adams, very similar to Tyreek Hill, only he's not the number one, but he's in a better offense. The Stafford thing, I think, hurts Adams more than it does Puka because I think if Jimmy Garoppolo had to start games, Puka Nacua gets moved around the formation. Puka Nacua is the easier target to hit. I think Adams would be the biggest loser of a Matthew Stafford injury, and Adams on film per reception perception numbers fell off a little bit as well as routinely a 90th plus percentile separator across the board versus man and zone coverage. He dropped quite a bit as a zone beater last year. He can age gracefully, but he is going to command the number one corners, over top safeties, etc. Puka Nacua is the one that gets moved around. Puka Nacua is the one that should be more quarterback proof, like I said. The red zone's definitely going to be an area that Devontae Adams makes his money, but if Matthew Stafford's hurt, Matthew Stafford's not playing, that's going to hurt Devontae Adams's upside case. So that's the big problem I have with Adams right now and why I've since moved him down my rankings a little bit. Rashee Rice, suspension is the number one risk thing that we're worried about. Without that, he still has the injury risk and some talent questions because as good as he's been, you know, last 10, 15 games that he's been on the field for, it's still a projection for Rashee Rice. Pat Mahomes, high-paced offense, top six projected scoring. That's what we want out of Rashee Rice. Gobble up the PPR targets, run a slant every single damn play, and catch 120 balls. That's how he hits. The problem is with Rashee Rice, though, is that you're probably getting a 3 to 6 game suspension somewhere in that territory. He's an easy swing to take in like round five, especially if you guys are in like 8-man leagues, 10-man leagues where you can make up depth, but you can't make up what Rashee Rice could represent once he's back on the field. He's a hard guy to gauge right now because I think once a suspension comes in, he'll probably lose a little bit of value. I think part of why he's still going in that fourth, fifth round area is that some people think he might not get suspended. So I'm kind of not really drafting him at the moment, but once the suspension gets dealt out, I do think we're going to see him kind of start to lower in price a little bit. But Rashee Rice, keep an eye on his price because he definitely is a super high upside option. JSN, there's some red flags here. Super high pass volume offense last season. JSN was wide receiver 17 in PPR points per game. He did play 17 games, so a lot of people probably assume he was a wide receiver one. He was not. If you go full overall season, he probably was, but PPR points per game, he was not. DK Metcalf is gone, which is good for the targets, but it's not good for how JSN wins. You want a guy who's going to clear out the middle of the field when you're JSN, and Metcalf does that better than anybody in the league. Who's going to be the slot receiver here? Is it going to be Cooper Kupp? Is it going to be JSN? That's a big issue. How good is Sam Darnold? Is he going to be better than Geno Smith, worse than Geno Smith, Vikings Sam Darnold? We have no idea. Sounds like the run game is going to be a big focus for the offense as well, and they fired their pass-heavy offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, who saw the Seahawks drop back like crazy last year. Is this going to be a great unit? Is this going to be a middle-of-the-pack unit? Is this going to be a below-average unit? It's still not a good offensive line. I think JSN is a fine wide receiver, too, to draft, but I do think he's more of a floor play. I think you're getting him. Yeah, you feel pretty confident he's going to be a top 24 wide receiver, but I don't see wide receiver 8 in his range of outcomes unless Sam Darnold plays at that Minnesota Vikings level and the offense throws the ball a little bit more than I'm anticipating. So that's kind of my issue with JSN is that I feel like he's a good swing. He's a safe pick. He's a young receiver. He doesn't have a lot of injury issues. You can not usually go wrong taking a player like that, but I would rather get him in the fourth round than I would in the third, because in the third round, I ideally want somebody with a little bit higher of a ceiling, and I think JSN's a great fourth round pick as a result of that. Wide receivers 19 through 27, these guys are kind of going in that fourth, fifth round territory. Mike Evans, Terry McLaurin, Tet McMillan, Xavier Worthy, DJ Moore, DK Metcalf, J-Mo, George Pickens, and Cortland Sutton. With Mike Evans, you got the touchdown upside, you got the great offense, good quarterback, great O-line, assuming Tristan Wirfs is going to be back at some point. We actually have heard word that he might not miss the beginning of the season, even though that was the initial report. Todd Bowles saying that he could be back sooner rather than later. Let's say he misses the first four games. I still think the offense will function pretty solid. The only major thing for Mike Evans is target competition and age, because he's dealt with some hamstring pulls. He's a little bit older. And Chris Godwin, assuming he's healthy at the start of the season, which is a big assumption at this point in time. And of course, Emeka Egbuka, Jalen McMillan, the two young guys who are getting a lot of hype. Mike Evans still, I'd be shocked if he was not a top 24 receiver in points per game, because he'll probably score 10 plus touchdowns, have, you know, 1,000 yards like he always does every single year. So Mike Evans, a very safe pick to me. Again, a guy I'd rather get in the fourth round, but I do feel comfortable taking him in the third if I had to. Terry McLaurin, even in last year's breakout season, nowhere near target-wise where you need to be to have one of these monster years. So I do think he's probably not likely to finish as a 20-plus point-per-game guy. The way he's going to get there, touchdowns, efficiency, good offense, great quarterback, improved offensive line, all that's going for him. But at 30 years old, holding out right now, not getting any good practice like he needs to be, are we going to see the first 20-point-per-game season of his career? I highly doubt it, because he's 30 years old and he's never even been a wide receiver one in points per game before. He finishes wide receiver 14 in PPR points per game last year, but that was by far and away his best season. A little bit of a touchdown regression candidate, as many people have probably pointed out. More of a floor play, guy that can get you a top 24 receiver season. Just not feeling excellent about him being a wide receiver 8 in points per game or something like that. T-Mac, rookie wide receiver of the Carolina Panthers, obviously an upside swing because he's a rookie. The fifth highest graded prospect since 2016 in the FSC prospect model, just behind Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase. The targets are there for the taking. Absolutely nobody in this offense scares me as far as taking targets away from Tet McMillan. Improving offense, improving quarterback, and I would say honestly an underrated quarterback at this point. Tetterell McMillan could smash, and in home leagues, there's no way you need to take him this high. He's going off the board wide receiver like 21 on Underdog, but you are getting him probably wide receiver 30 to 35 in most home leagues, and he's probably a sixth round pick. So in Underdog, you have to be a little bit more picky with how you take Tet McMillan, but I am getting my exposure in home leagues because he goes a lot cheaper on Sleeper, on ESPN, on Yahoo than he goes on Underdog Fantasy. And that's a good sign, right? The sharps are drafting on Underdog. The people who know ball and who are trying to win millions of dollars are drafting on Underdog. If he's going higher on Underdog, it means that he's probably undervalued in home league ADP. Xavier Worthy, probably heavily capped because of Rashee Rice once he's back, Travis Kelce and others capping how many targets he can earn. But his efficiency
was really strong as a rookie down the stretch last year. Top three quarterback in the league, high pass rate, high pace of play, efficiency, touchdowns, design touches as well, rushing work. I think the way that Xavier Worthy hits is like a slightly better version of what Jameson Williams represented. Maybe you even get like somewhere near a 2021 Deebo Samuel like upside. I just do think you're looking more so at, yeah, he's probably capped at around 1,000 to 1,100 receiving yards and like 8 or 9 touchdowns. He's probably not going to ever be a 1,600-yard receiver or something like that, just given his size and how he wins. You're probably going to need to be efficient, make the most of your targets, that kind of thing. So Xavier Worthy, definitely a great pick, especially spike week guy in best ball. DJ Moore and DK Metcalf I can group together because they are the only two, archetype-wise, and I'll talk about this in tomorrow's video, prime wide receiver ones, meaning they're under the age of 29 and they have a wide receiver one season under their belt already. We want to bet on these type of archetypes in the mid rounds. There's much more on DK Metcalf and DJ Moore as far as are they good receivers as there are for the last couple guys that I've talked about. For example, Tetterell McMillan, Xavier Worthy. We are pretty certain DJ Moore and DK Metcalf are good receivers. The way that Moore hits is Odunze, Loveland, Burden. Some of those guys maybe not producing at a high level in year one or year two in Odunze's case. I think those guys, those young guys, specifically Odunze and probably Colson Loveland, are going to eat into DJ Moore's target share from last year. And I do think he's going to be somewhat disappointing, maybe like a wide receiver 28 in points per game type of play. And I'm just not willing to draft somebody that I don't think has a super, super high ceiling. And it's mainly due to the fact that I think Odunze right now, this second, is as good, if not better, of a receiver. And I think Loveland and Burden will start to contribute into this offense as well. And I just don't think DJ Moore is this like elite, supremely gifted Jamar Chase type talent where he's going to out-target these guys by 50, 60 targets. I just don't think that's going to happen. As much as I believe in the Bears offense, I think it's going to be kind of an ambiguous wide receiver core. This guy has a week here, that guy has a week there, and DJ Moore is the most expensive, which is why I'm fading him. DK Metcalf, the way that he hits is that the Steelers are a classic 8 to 10 win team, sneak into a 7 seed. Aaron Rodgers is a really solid quarterback, throws 25 touchdowns, and DK Metcalf has a career high in targets. Even if the Steelers, who will not throw the ball a lot because they have Arthur Smith, throw 475 times, 500 times, I think that Metcalf can get there on a 30% target share. Receptions, maybe touchdowns. He has 8, 9, 10 touchdowns this year. One of my highest rostered wide receivers in this territory on Underdog. It reminds me of when DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs and some of those guys switch teams and people knock them down the board, even though they were wide receiver ones who have finished as wide receiver ones before and have opportunities to earn more targets in their new landing spot. That's why I love Stephon Diggs so much. If you guys were following this channel back in 2020, you know how much I love Stephon Diggs. When Buffalo traded for him, I absolutely loved him then. And I do think Metcalf is a similar case. Obviously, it's not a Josh Allen situation, but Rodgers is a good quarterback. He can contribute and get the ball to DK Metcalf as much as humanly possible. And I think that's what's going to end up happening. Jameson Williams and George Pickens are easy to group together because they're both good offenses. They're both number two receivers. They're both good wide receivers in their own right. They both have great quarterbacks. I do think both guys have outs to be top 15 to 20 receivers, even without St. Brown and Lamb going down with injury. I think we could see, you know, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns from Jameson Williams, even if St. Brown played 17 games. I think we could see 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns out of George Pickens, even if CeeDee Lamb played 17 games. So obviously there's implied upside that if the starter ahead of them or the number one went ahead of them, went down with an injury, they'd probably have an even higher ceiling. But I do think both of them are just really good bets because I like taking good players on good teams, and both of those guys represent that. Both guys, big targets of mine. They're also prime wide receiver two archetypes because they're in year four of their career, but they've been productive already. And when you draft them as your wide receiver three on your roster, let's say you already have Nico Collins and Malik Nabers on your team, and you draft Jameson Williams as your wide receiver three in a three wide receiver start, he's a great wide receiver three. He can give you those spike weeks. He can give you that production that you're looking for on any given week. Let's move into wide receivers 28 to 36. Again, we're going to speed through these a little bit faster. These guys are going about mid round 5 to round 7-ish from Devontae Smith, Waddle, Ridley, Flowers, Travis Hunter, Romo Odunze, Chris Olave, Juwan Jennings, and Deebo Samuel. Let's highlight the ones that stand out. Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle stand out as some of the better values on the board in this range. They're highly drafted wide receivers in the past. Like, think about where we've been taking Devontae Smith and Waddle before. It was not the 4th, 5th round or the 6th round. It was like the 2nd or 3rd round. Both productive number twos, 4 good offenses, both stand out as huge targets of mine because for me, what's the best indicator of good wide receivers in this clump? There's always like so many guys that blend together from wide receiver 23 to wide receiver 36. What are the best guys to target? Look at last year. The best guys to target in that range were T. Higgins, Rashee Rice, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Chris Godwin. either breakout candidates that you feel great about or guys who have finished as wide receiver ones already who are under age 29. That was Godwin, that was Higgins, those type of guys last year. And that is exactly what Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle represent. Yes, there's concern for receiving volume, and Waddle had a bad season last year, but I'm taking the upside knowing that I know they're good receivers. They've been good receivers their whole careers, and I do think they could outperform their ADP big time. So Devontae Smith, Jaylen Waddle, definitely targets of mine. Calvin Ridley and Deebo Samuel have both been wide receiver ones already as well, but they are over the age of 29. Injury, age risk is a thing there. Both have paths to play to pay off at ADP. Calvin Ridley with lots of target volume and, of course, a quarterback upgrade with the first overall pick, Cam Ward. And Deebo Samuel with efficiency in a great offense. And, of course, Terry is holding out right now. Maybe he develops a good chemistry with Jaden Daniels as a result. And I do think he's going to be used in the rushing game, in the red zone, that kind of thing. Then there's this big cluster of breakout candidates. You have Zay Flowers, Travis Hunter, and Romo Odunze. Zay Flowers, I have loved for a long time. Entering year three, feels like people think he's a lot older than he is. In a great offense with a former MVP quarterback, second in MVP voting last year, first the year before that, and now a top three target on the team, or at least a top three talent at target earning on the team in Isaiah Likely, slated to miss the first two, three, four games of the season. Volume is a problem for Zay Flowers for sure, because the Ravens are not going to throw like crazy, but he's quietly, despite that happening, met the yards per route run, met the reception perception markers he's needed to. As a year one and year two receiver, he's been like an over 2 yards per route run guy and a 90th percentile separator against zone coverage. Again, he's only entering year three. Everybody treats, you know, Zay Flowers like we know what he is. It's like we don't know what a third year receiver is at this point in his career. So I absolutely love him in the mid rounds. Again, draft him as your wide receiver three, as your first flex. Whatever you got to do, he is a great, great option for me. Travis Hunter, who of course is on the thumbnail of this video, the mega unknown. The one thing I do know about Travis Hunter is that he's exceptionally gifted. He is a special talent. How will that materialize in fantasy, knowing that he's playing defense too, and he has to play against Brian Thomas Jr. and compete for targets with him? Let's outline how this hits, because I think it's easy for me to just sit here and go, he's going to hit because he's so good. Like, we have to outline how it goes well. It goes well because Lawrence realizes his potential, actually plays at a 35 passing touchdown, 4,500 yard level. He has two stud wide receivers to throw to. BTJ and Hunter complement each other perfectly. Hunter can be used in that slot flanker Chris Godwin role from the Liam Cohen offense, who's the head coach coming in. Brian Thomas, stretch the field, be great in the red zone, be the Mike Evans of this offense. Hunter can play that over the middle role and get a lot of targets, assuming he's going to be out there for most of the routes, most of the reps, which I do think is going to be the case. Think about what Chris Godwin was doing at the start of 2024 in this offense for Liam Cohen. Boom, you have a big hit out of the mid rounds. Do I think it's possible that Travis Hunter has 20 plus points per game? Probably not without a Brian Thomas Jr. injury, but I do think you're drafting this guy in the mid 20s, the early 30s of wide receiver, like wide receiver 32 off the board right now. Could he finish wide receiver 14? Abso-freaking-lutely. That's not a 20 plus point per game season, but returning that much on ADP is a league winning season, like we saw from T. Higgins last year. Didn't have a 20 point per game season, but out of this mid round area, returned basically 18 fantasy points per game and was absolutely awesome. I do think that's the type of potential I see for Hunter. And he is basically my pick for predicting this year's league winning wide receiver, especially given that you're getting a nice discount on him right now. Romo Odunze, I talked about the Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson of it all with DJ Moore. They could make some magic together. Odunze is getting a lot of buzz as potentially the best receiver on this team from beat reporters, from teammates, from coaches, etc. He's ready to explode. He was a top 10 pick, the seventh highest rated prospect coming out of college in the FSC prospect model since 2016. He could be in store for a very similar hit to what I just said with Travis Hunter, where you're drafting him wide receiver 33. He finishes wide receiver 14, not a 20 point per game ceiling, but he definitely has a big ceiling in terms of what he can return on where he's going. These guys are not likely in possession of that ceiling, like I said, 20 plus points per game, probably unlikely for Romo Odunze, for Zay Flowers, and for Travis Hunter. But I do think out of the round 5 to 6 range you're getting them, they can absolutely crush where they were being drafted and finish 15 spots higher at wide receiver than where they went. Chris Olave, the only other guy in this tier, hits if the Saints are better than expected. Otherwise, I think what Chris Olave looks like most likely in a median range of outcomes is what Calvin Ridley was last year. The Titans had the number one pick. Calvin Ridley was productive, usable wide receiver 2-3 producer, but the team wasn't good. And they had a quarterback in Will Levis and Mason Rudolph who was missing Calvin Ridley, who left some plays on the field. And I think even if Olave is better than Calvin Ridley as a talent, you can make the argument that he is. He's not going to, you know, elevate the play of Tyler Shuck. He's not going to elevate the play of Spencer Rattler. They're not good quarterbacks. Like, there's a good chance that the Saints have the first pick in the draft this year. So Chris Olave, I will say, is a decent PPR option if he falls late, but he's probably capped because of the offense and the team that he plays for. Wide receiver 37 to 45. I can just rattle through these guys really fast. Probably unlikely that any of these guys have a 20-point per game season. Round 7 plus in ADP doesn't usually happen at this position. We love wide receivers so much. We elevate the ones that have the ceiling. But this does highlight some of the best values in this area. You look at Ricky Pearsall and Matthew Golden, both boom or bust breakouts as basically rookies. I mean, Pearsall played last year, but not a whole lot. He's coming into his first season as a starter. Jennings is banged up. Ayuk is banged up. He could definitely get out to a hot start. Matthew Golden, the rookie receiver for the Packers, they've been looking for a number one receiver for a while. If he plays at a high level, he can absolutely be that for them. But the highest scoring guys in this area are Chris Godwin, because I can only count age and injury concerns once. And he's been obviously great when he's been on the field. The offense is really good. The O-line's really good, all that kind of stuff. But Chris Godwin may not be ready for the start of camp. Jaden Reed, Emeka Egbuka, Pop as really good values in this territory. And I've been drafting them a ton. I've been beating the drum for them a ton. Addison has suspension, target competition, QB concerns. Judy's team and quarterback are just bad all around. Plus, I don't really think Jerry Jeudy is as good as some people think he is. I think that he got, you know, really lucky kind of with a run of Jameis throwing the ball like crazy, and he was obviously playing well and all that kind of stuff. But Jerry Jeudy to me is like the 30th best receiver in the league. I just don't think that he's going to elevate beyond a bad team and a bad quarterback. Jacoby Myers, just a straight up bad pick here. I don't get why he's going this high. It's a bad team. It's a bad offense, in my opinion. Maybe it's better with Geno Smith, but Jacoby Myers has got to compete for targets with Brock Bowers, and Jenty's probably going to be the engine of the offense going forward. And Stephon Diggs has a lot of upside, but also a ton of things pointing to downside: the injury, the offense, the O-line, the low volume potentially, all that kind of stuff. But I do like Diggs as a potential upside swing in shallower leagues. So those are the top 45 wide receivers. Here's the scorecard, and I'll go through kind of how these guys ended up scoring for me. Wide receivers with legitimate league-breaking upside, 20-plus point-per-game seasons that we're chasing this year in fantasy, pretty much end in round two. As crazy as it sounds, I don't actually think we're going to get a guy average 20-plus points per game outside of Ladd McConkey and up. I think that any guys that have 20-plus points per game this year are the guys in green that you see there. Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, Nakua, Neighbors, Collins, St. Brown, Brian Thomas Jr., Drake London, A.J. Brown, and McConkey. I would bet good money that if we get 20-point per game seasons, let's say we get four of them this year, it's probably only four guys that came from that territory. Because again, we know that we elevate wide receivers when they have huge ceilings. Ryan Heath outlined this in his recent article, The Anatomy of a League Winner, and you can see that the percentage of players drafted in each round to become league winners, and his definition of league winners was a little bit different, but basically it was like really high win rate players in ESPN leagues. So value over replacement kings at wide receiver came primarily in round one and in round two, 42%. Of the league winners coming from that territory of the draft. And again, that doesn't factor in that you needed 20 points per game to reach my definition of league winners. And I would venture a guess to say it was even higher if that was the definition, not just value over replacement win rate type of stats there. So this is why hero wide receiver can make sense this year, because if you start your draft with CeeDee Lamb, fill out some running back spots, grab an elite quarterback, tack on a bunch of these late round wide receivers that I really like, you could build out a dominant looking team. And we basically talked about that in the hero wide receiver video. But another thing I wanted to point out is this wide receiver 12 to 27 range, specifically from Tyreek Hill all the way down to Cortland Sutton, and honestly, even into the next territory of guys down to, you know, Romo Dunze and such, it's really strong, man. There's a lot of good profiles here. There's a lot of great breakout candidates. There's a lot of good prime wide receiver one guys. There's a lot of good, like, established alpha guys, and even the wide receiver two kind of moniker guys of like Jameson Williams and Garrett Wilson and George Pickens and those guys, they're all really good projections. Be wary of some of the bad picks in this territory, but honestly, man, I think this round 3 to 6 range is going to be a great spot for you guys to hammer out wide receivers specifically in your home leagues, because these profiles, they were not this yellow and green this point in the draft last year. I had a lot more red, a lot more orange at this point. And I do think that there's a lot of great projections on the board. Be wary of trusty veterans with concerns. Terry McLaurin with the holdout, Devontae Adams with the Stafford injury, Cortland Sutton kind of capped somewhat as a producer. I think his season last year is probably the best as a player he can get. Tyreek Hill and Mike Evans definitely have, you know, higher ceilings than those dudes, in my opinion. And I'm much more likely to swing on those veteran guys, but just be wary of these trusty veteran territory guys. And if we continue deeper down the board, you can see kind of wide receiver 19 through wide receiver 45 has some good profiles to bet on as well. The whole point of this video series is really to outline when is the best place to target each position. That's why I did who is the next league winning quarterback, tight end, running back, wide receiver. If you've watched all four of these videos, you might be starting to put together the pieces of the puzzle. Where is the best spot? Which round is the best to take my wide receivers? Which round is the best to take my running backs, my quarterback, my tight end? What you should kind of take is using this puzzle, you can kind of start to draft with a goal in mind, with a structure in mind. Where is the board rich in certain positions? As I talked about in the quarterback and tight end one, good year to go late round at this point this year, but it also is a great year to grab an early quarterback if you want to get that elite positional advantage. Running backs and wide receivers, it's a great year to load up early, get your running backs early, great, get your wide receivers in those mid rounds. And of course, I will cover all of this in my number one draft strategy video that I do every year. It's, you know, the highest viewed channel video on this channel for the last two seasons. I will cover that next Monday. But essentially, it looks optimal at wide receiver to grab an anchor early, or maybe two anchors early, and then swing a lot in the mid rounds, get your running backs, catch up at that position, swing a lot on these Zay Flowers, Travis Hunter, Devontae Smith, Chris Godwin, Romo Odunze, Jaden Reed, Emeka Egbuka, all these type of guys. My ultimate prediction for who is the next league-winning wide receiver, guy who is just, you had to have him, the guy that you had to have in the first couple of rounds, I do think it's going to be either Puka Nacua, Malik Nabers, or we see, you know, Nico Collins, BTJ near the end of that first round. I do think that the top guys are being priced as the top guys, and they pretty much have to do it, but I do think you're getting enough of a discount on those late round one, early round two guys that they can really return a lot of value if they have 20-plus, 22-plus point per game seasons. League-winning wide receivers that could come out of the mid-rounds, again, not necessarily 20-point-per-game guys, but probably the most important projection because you're going to be hammering so many of these dudes, Travis Hunter, Devontae Smith, Zay Flowers, Romo Odunze, Chris Godwin, Jaden Reed, and Emeka Egbuka all score highly at cheaper costs, so I will roll with some of those names as who is the next league-winning wide receiver. Last year, I would have said T. Higgins. Last year, I would have said probably Rashee Rice, given how he scored in this. Ideally, I get two or three of those guys to fill out my flexes, and the rest of my team helps carry me beyond that. If you guys enjoyed this video, like, comment, subscribe. Make sure to take this strategy into action over on Underdog Fantasy. Start drafting. Win some big prizes. $3 to enter the Pomeranian 2 right now. You could win up to $20,000 on a $3 entry. $2 million up top. Best Ball Mania 6, $25 to enter that. Best place to go for beginners is definitely that Pomeranian 2 contest. Get in a bunch of drafts. It's no waivers. It's no trades. It's no in-season management. There's no lineup setting. You don't have to worry about anything. All you do is draft. Enter contests. Collect your winnings at the end of the year. Enjoy some sweats. Come the fantasy playoffs. Sign up today using the promo code FSE, and you'll get up to 50% back on your first deposit. So if you put in $100 to practice for your home league, you'll have $150 on the site to play with, and you get that bonus up to $1,000 on your first deposit. Gimme pick in your pick'em lobby as well. And also, as I mentioned earlier in the video, be sure to check out our draft guide. Be sure to check out our season pass. The brand new season pass is the single best deal we've ever had on the site. You get wall-to-wall coverage August 1st to January 1st. You get all of our draft guides, ours and the other creators, all of our rankings, ours and the other creators, all of our posts, all of our tools, everything that you could possibly need to dominate your league before the season. And then once we get into the season, all the posts, all the articles, all the tools, all the rest of season rankings, all the in-season rankings, all the weekly rankings, everything you could possibly need to win your league this year. $35 with promo code FSE, and that'll be linked down below in the pinned comment. All for one price, and this is the best thing we've pretty much ever offered on the site, like I said. So with that being said, if you enjoyed, like, comment, subscribe. Peace out, and I'll talk to you soon.